Today I'm going to preach about the rapture versus the second coming of Christ. Is there a difference? What does Scripture say about that? So it's going to be from Scripture. You can do your own studying. I'll put a lot of Scriptures up there. It took me quite a bit of time to put this together because it was a lot of copy and paste, but I had to go through. I had to omit a lot. The Bible is so full of Scripture on that subject from Old Testament, New Testament, that it's you can't miss. There is a difference between the second coming of Christ and the rapture. And for those who say the rapture is not mentioned in the New Testament or in Scripture, it actually is in the Greek. It's called harpazo. So there it is, which means a sudden or a taking away. So yeah, that word is mentioned just because the exact word rapture isn't mentioned. That goes for a lot of things, aren't exactly the way our language brings them out. It doesn't mean that's not in Scripture. It's just the way you interpret things. But we want to interpret things through the Holy Spirit. That's the catch. Is if the Holy Spirit isn't present or there to interpret Scripture, then our religion and Scripture is as dead as any other religion. Then Hinduism and Muslims, the Quran, everything is valid. But we have life in Scripture. Scripture is, there is life there. It's the reason why it offends people. People are offended by Scripture. They're not offended by all the other religions. At least I'm not. But I remember before I was saved, yeah, a lot of Scriptures offended me. They cut to the heart. They cut to the chase. They go right where it hurts. And the problem is nowadays people don't want to face that. But before I get into my message, let's please rise and ask for the Lord to bless and open our hearts. Lord Jesus, You will bless our understanding. You'll open our ears to the truth, that we will not water anything down, that Your Holy Spirit will shed light in every part of Your Scripture and of Your Word, that we will see clearly what You mean when You spoke a lot of those words Yourself, Lord Jesus. You will bless us here. In Jesus' name I pray this. Amen. And you may be seated. So the rapture versus the second coming. So I'm going to go through a bunch of Scripture which will clarify to you that the difference between the two of them. So the rapture and the second coming of Christ are not the same event or events. The rapture is when Jesus comes in the air for His church. He doesn't come down. We meet Him in the clouds. And His feet will not touch the earth. The second coming is when Jesus comes back to earth and His feet touch the Mount of Olives. In the New Testament, we have these two different descriptions of Jesus coming that point to two separate events that we call the rapture and the second coming. So I'm going to list up on the screen are just a few to name a few differences between the rapture and the second coming of Christ. So now you can read with me there. So the rapture, first of all, is Jesus coming for His church, which is the bride of Christ. In John 14, 1-3, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Now I go prepare a place for you, and if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Where I am, there you may be also. Now I'm just going to interject something here. It took 6 days, we read of creation, that God to make this heavens and the earth. And if any of you have ever looked through the Hubble telescope, I went to see it on IMX, in IMX, the universe, or the vastness of it, the beauty of it, it is mind-boggling. It took 6 days to make, and even Earth, there are some unbelievably beautiful sights and sceneries here on this planet. Even after the fall, they're still here. You can still see them. But I'll tell you something. Jesus spoke here about something that he's still working on 2,000 years already to make these mansions. Can you imagine what's waiting for us? Can your heart even comprehend of what is waiting? 2,000 years of workmanship versus 6 days. Look how beautiful it was. Now you're looking at 2,000 years. What's coming for us as the bride of Christ is literally out of this world. So let's go to First Thessalonians, we're all very familiar with this scripture. That's the second. That's the rapture here. For 2 Thessalonians 4, 14 to verse 18. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them that also which have died in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. In other words, we shall not stop them. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. There is no coming back here for Jesus. It's we're meeting him just like a bride goes to meet the groom. To meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I'll jump to the second coming here. Jesus comes with his church, Colossians 3, 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. So we shall be with him. Zechariah, Old Testament 14, Zechariah 14, verse 5. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with him. So the second coming, we come with him. Jude 14 and 15. And Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him, against God. And again, the second coming, again here, Revelation 19, verse 14, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon a white horse, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Who is that? That's the church. That's us. We are clothed with fine linen and white and clean. And we're coming, he's coming back, he's on riding a white horse. At the rapture, it's not so. We're meeting him in the clouds. The rapture, in the first Corinthians 15, verse 52, it says, it happens in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. It's too fast for your eyes even to see. It happens so fast. In Matthew 24, verse 36, it says, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Let's jump to the second coming here. It's a slow coming. People will see him come back. Every eye shall see him, it says. Again, you can see the difference here. Nobody, only the believers will see him on the rapture. It'll only appear to them. Matthew 24:30. Again, this is the second coming. And then shall appear the sign. So there will be signs that show that he's coming back. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Every eye will see him when this happens. Revelation 1 to 7. There is the same thing here. Behold, he comes with clouds, and every eye shall see him. They also which pierced him, and all kindreds of earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Only Christians will see him on the rapture. 1 John 3, verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God and daughters, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And here is a catch. And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself. You're not going to get purified by the tribulation. That's not going to purify anybody. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that has purified our hearts and our souls. So even as he is pure, and what else purifies you? You waiting for his return, which is imminent. That's what keeps you pure. Why does it keep you pure? It's going back. I was listening to an old Jewish scholar relate to their old wedding feasts, Jewish wedding feasts, to the parallels to the second coming of Christ. It's the bridegroom would have to pay a dowry for the bride. Once he picked his bride, he'd pay a dowry, and then he would leave, go away. And he will not announce when he's going to come back. The bride would have to be ready for when he would come, which would be between 3 months to a year. Within that time, but she had to be ready. And remember, Jesus also said something, the times and the seasons you shall know, but the day, the hour, knoweth no man. So we're in that time and in that season that we know, but the day, the hour, we do not set dates, we do not know when he's going to come back, but we know it can be any moment. And it can happen any time. In Revelation 3, verse 3, remember therefore how you have received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore you shall not watch, I will come unto you as a thief, and you shall not know what hour I will come unto you. Does that sound like the one there where he says, every eye shall see him? Here it's a sudden coming. You will cut unaware. And in John 16, verse 7, it says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Catch something here. When the Holy Spirit could not come when Jesus was here until Jesus left, there's going to be a reversal of this, the second coming. Hang on, I must have missed here something here. Oh, no, I got it here. Second coming occurs at the end of 7 years of tribulation. And in 2 Thessalonians, it says this, 2 chapter, verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, for only he who now lets will let until he be taken out of the way. Who is that? That's the Holy Spirit. Jesus cannot come till that is reversed, that the Holy Spirit is gone. Then he comes. And that's actually talking about the rapture here. I think I have my second coming mixed up here. But anyway, you'll get the gist here. And so now the role gets reversed. The Holy Spirit, which the church will be with the church, will be taken away before Jesus can come. So I'll jump again to the rapture. No angels are sent to gather. Resurrected people don't need angels to help them. The second coming, angels are sent forth to gather people together. That's what happens at the second coming of Christ. It's talked about in Matthew, where he sends them to the four corners of the earth and to gather all the people. And the rapture is the spirit of those dead in Christ returned to receive their resurrected bodies. That's in 1 Thessalonians, which I read before, 14 to 16. Second coming, Christians return with Jesus in already resurrected bodies, riding on white horses. Also Revelation 19, 11 to 21. Again, I encourage you to look that up later. If you look up the scripture, study them. The rapture here again, Jesus does not return on a white horse. I'm just repeating some of the things here. Second coming, Jesus returns on a white horse, Revelation 19, 11. The rapture for the church is for the church only, those in Christ. Rapture, again, the message of hope and comfort. Second coming is a message of judgment. You can read in Joel 12 to 16, Revelation 19, 11 to 21, and Malachi 4 and verse 5. And then one of my favorite rapture verses, Luke 21, verse 36. Jesus, just before that, gives an account of what's going to happen, and then he says this, but you, watch you therefore, and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man, which is Jesus. So again, here is just a few verses of the difference between the second coming and the rapture. And again, I avoid all arguments. If you don't believe it that way, that is your loss and your privilege. You can believe whatever you want to believe. And do not allow yourself, though, to perish for the lack of knowledge. Get into the Word of God. Allow yourself to be educated in these parts, in these Scripture, and you will find yourself, it gives you freedom knowing this. You don't have fear knowing the Lord can come any minute. Basically what it does is helps you dig into, see who you really are in Christ. And again, do not get this message mixed up with tribulation. In this world you will have tribulation. It says, those who live godly lives in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. There's a difference between the Great Tribulation, which is the 7 years of time of Jacob's trouble, where the focus gets shifted from the church back to Israel. That's the 70th week in Daniel, spoken by the prophet Daniel, which is missing from the Jews. It's turned back to the Jews again. When the day of dispensation is over, or the time of dispensation is over, which is the hour of grace, which we enjoy, where we have all power and authority given to us to subdue all things. It's now. It's not later. During the tribulation, we do not have that privilege. As a matter of fact, most tribulation saints will die a horrible death. Right now, we can come against the enemy. And I'll give you a few examples. Stephen, the first martyr, when they were stoning him, he already saw heaven open, and basically he was in the spiritual realm before they cast the first stone. And he says, "Father, you will not lay this to their charge. You will forgive them." The Apostle Paul took another route. They stoned him. He got up. "My work is not done. You can't kill me till my time is over." We had a lady from Africa one time who was giving a scripture, jumping to a modern day thing. There was a genocide in Rwanda, where the Tutsis were killing a lot of the believers. So they went to this university where they were killing people at random. They were basically just shooting them. And they came to her, and what she said is this: "Devil, you will not kill me today." When the little guy who had the gun came to her, he said his eyes bulged out of his socket and he had fear in his eyes. He turned around and ran, and she walked away. Guess what? They didn't kill her. But jump to that scripture again. I use this often. "My people perish for their lack of knowledge." Educate yourself in those parts. We have been given the key to bind things on earth. Will be bound in heaven. Loose things on earth, they will be loosed in heaven. We have that key now. And again, I'll repeat that scripture. There is going to be troubling times ahead, but do not worry. Jesus has overcome this world. Relax in Jesus Christ. He will not take you out of the problems. He will help you through them. Learn how to trust them in good times. It will be much easier for you to do it in bad times. And this concludes my part of the service.
I like the message on the rapture. How many of you like, or should I say love, a message on the rapture? I do. Why do I love it? It could happen today. Hallelujah. Awesome. A mystery that the Apostle Paul said, "Behold, I show you a mystery." Nobody knows. I don't know the day, the hour. Only the Father knows. Strange thing, people don't pick that up, that as soon as the tribulation starts with a 3D, you can figure out exactly to the day when Jesus comes back. But this one keeps you in darkness. You have to be ready. Watch you. Pray for that you will be counted worthy to escape all those things that shall come to pass. Anybody afraid of the tribulation here? I'm not. Why? Because I got it beat. Who beat it for me? My Lord, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. How about the dead people? The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive shall be changed. It doesn't say disappear. How many of you watch the Left Behind movies where cars go off the road and every plane crashes? We shall disappear. No, we shall be changed. Changed into what? Into the body the Lord Jesus Christ had. And that's going to last for how long? 70 years? Nope. pre-eternity. It's going to be awesome. In Matthew chapter 27, look what happened. We got some that starched us off. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 52, the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints that slept arose, came out of the graves. After what? His resurrection. Most translations don't have that. They preach when there was an earthquake, when Jesus died, it opened up. But no, it says after the resurrection, the people rose from the graves. What did they do? Boogie off to heaven? Nope. No. They didn't have the luxury. They went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Let that stick in your mind. I'll preach on it yet. So they rose from the grave. They walked into the city. What did they do? Walk around like zombies? No, they had glorified bodies. They were talking to their loved ones about the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why Peter had such 3,000 people at his first sermon. We barely have 20, 30, 40. How many do we have here? When I started out, there were two. So he had 3,000. Isn't that awesome? And more added to the church because those dead people spoke to those who were alive. Remember, when Jesus preached, they hung around him till his food ran out. Then they left. And he said to the 12, are you going to leave too? And they said, no, you're the only one that has eternal life. The Old Testament speaks about that. I love it, but I got it in the New Testament. Listen to this, Isaiah 26, verse 19. But these who die in the Lord will live. Their bodies will rise again. These who sleep in the earth will rise up and sing for joy. For your life-giving light will fall like dew on your people in the place of the dead. Hallelujah. See, this is what happens when the light of Jesus hits, graves cannot contain the bodies. So anybody scared of death here? Don't worry about it. It's only a shadow. I was close to it. Maybe I stumbled over the line a few times. Hey, you have nothing but joy. I can vouch for that. When it says Christ is closer in death than when we're alive, he means exactly what he says. You couldn't care about anything except what Jesus is doing and what he is showing you. The feeling that you have, you wouldn't mind if it would continue forever. But God has a timetable. We all got to follow it. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I know, but I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them that are asleep. If you're worried about it, he said, don't be ignorant. Why? What does ignorant mean? It simply means you don't know. Don't be ignorant about it. Get to know what will happen to them. That your sorrow not you sorrow even as others which have no hope. So he's admonishing the Christians. I'm telling you, those that are asleep, don't sorrow like those who have no hope. But for death is a shadow. It has been defeated. There's a song out there that James and Kathy sings, that he defeated death on the cross. Hallelujah. He defeated death for me. He defeated it for me. I have absolutely no fear of death. But I can tell you one thing. Before I became a Christian, I was deadly afraid of it. You could shoot me. It wouldn't scare me. I was afraid of what will happen after I die. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. So they're there now. The Apostle Paul said, oh, I wouldn't mind dying. I'd love to die, but to me, to live is for your sake, for dying is for my gain. He was looking for the gain of others, teaching them, admonishing them, encouraging them. So this is the statement he made, for me to live, but to die is Christ. Hallelujah. How many of you already have Christ? Wait till we see him as he is. You just got a vague picture. You're looking through a fog. One of these days, we'll see this God, and we're going to shout for joy. We're not going to have to practice the rapture. It'll happen instantly. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them that are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up again. Wait, I got to make sure I got it right. This is powerful. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. For those who believe that Jesus is coming after the tribulation, have a good time, because you're going through the tribulation if you don't watch out. But it says Christ will bring those dead with him. I was once arguing with a guy. He said, there's no animals in heaven. I said, what's the first thing you're going to see leaving heaven? A horse. Is a horse an animal? Of course it is. I love horses. Mine is going to be beautiful. Hallelujah. So shall we ever be with the Lord, and I'll be riding horseback. I love this one here. You go through Thessalonians 1 and 2. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. What does comfort mean? If you're cast down, if you're cast out, if you're going through rough times, I want to comfort you with something. If you got $1 million in the bank, and you're lying on your deathbed, I'll come to you and say, hey, don't worry. You got $1 million in the bank. You think that guy will care? No. But if I tell him, if you love Christ, He's coming. He's coming soon. And if you die, it's not really death. It's just a shadow. It's just something that you quit. You don't even notice that you're dead. You're going to be wondering, what am I doing here on the ceiling? What's my body doing there? I know what happened. You separated. Hallelujah. That's going to be awesome. Either which way, the rapture or death, it's going to be awful. Hallelujah. How do I know? I experienced one already. I experienced death. Next comes the rapture. Jesus, come quickly. I want to experience that too. Where are we going? I'm going to read one more scripture. I love this one. If you study Revelations chapter 5, study 4 and 5. Just before the tribulation begins, there's millions and millions of people around the throne. The throne, it, everything is explained. Study it, read it. If you want to hide, if you want to feel good, read it. And you're going to hear something amazing. God explaining exactly how the tribulation will kick off. We are going to have a front row seat watching everything. And what makes us worthy to have that front row seat? I read it to you. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. And they sang a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. What seals? The bowls, the seals, all the way through the tribulation. These people will experience the wrath of God. It's not going to be pretty. You don't want to go through there. So what you're there for, pray always. Those who are listening through the internet, pray that God will open your heart, your eyes, so that you can become one with him, so that your life is hid in Christ with God's power. You've got to do that to miss that awful time. Because if you don't miss it and you still want God, you're going to lose your head. And that's not a good feeling from what I see anyway, when I see the stuff like that. It says here, thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof. Hallelujah. Read, there was nobody worthy. And one angel said, yes, there is. Guess who that one is? Jesus. Hallelujah. He's the one worthy to take the scroll out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. And God gives it to him. You done it, my boy. You done it. You go get him. And it says, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God. By what? By my works. I was working so hard. I was a pastor for half three quarters of my life. I preached the gospel. I give my money to the poor. You should have seen me, guys. Oh, boy, except those who know me. You be quiet. But, you know, I tried. I tried. But that wouldn't have been good enough. Why? It says, you have redeemed us to God by thy blood. By the blood of Jesus, he redeemed us to God. Hallelujah. From where? From the Hutterite colony, of course. No, he didn't stop there. They're part of it. I know that for a fact. He redeemed us to God out of every tongue, kindred, people, and nation. Hallelujah. All of us are included. We all got part of that awesome eternal life that God is preparing for us. So I want to say this. We may be kind of nonchalant about this. It's nothing to be nonchalant about it. Be serious about God. If there's one thing I'm serious about, that's Jesus. Never mind God this, God that. Jesus did this, Jesus did that. You hear it on TV, God, God, God. Everybody's scared to mention that beautiful name. Why? Because it's an offense. Mention Jesus. Tell us what he did for you, and that will bring life to those who listen. Hallelujah. It's the name of Jesus that opens people's hearts. So open your heart to this. God loves us. He allowed his son to be murdered for us on the cross. He took your sin, my sin on the cross with him, and he nailed them there. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become what? The righteousness of God in him. What a trade-off. Man a living, that's such a sweet aroma that I smell right from here. God doing this for me. I never deserved it. I never even looked for it when I was out in the world. God found me and gave it to me. Hallelujah. So open your heart to this and become a blessing to yourself and to your God. Hallelujah.
Jesus. see.